Welcome to Out of School, a show about the intersection of technology and education. My name is Bradley Chambers, and you'll notice I'm not joined by Fraser this week. I actually have Cole Conrad back on the show. Due to some scheduling conflicts and just general end of the school year craziness, Fraser and I were not able to connect this week over Skype to record the show. So I was glad that Cole could come on and we can hang out for a bit. Cole, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Bradley?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thanks for being here. Before we get started, I want to thank briefly our good friends over at BDocs for their great Timeline 3D app for iOS for sponsoring the show this week. We'll talk about them more as the show goes on. So, yeah, one of the things about doing a podcast with someone so far away is sometimes scheduling conflicts occur because he's 5 hours ahead of me, and then he actually has a newborn child as well. So when we're recording, we record generally about 3:30 Eastern time, but it's like 8:30 his time. I don't know what his time zone is called. It's something. So it's sometimes with a newborn, it can be tricky. And of course, I'm sure in July I will be there because my wife and I are expecting another child. So it gets busy towards the end of the year. Everybody seems to get like a little bit cranky around here. Is your school the same way?
Our school's actually, it feels like a release of tension, surprisingly. Now, for me and my team that's starting to be built, yeah, it's hectic. This is when things gear up.
Well, you're beginning to kind of like think through what your summer's going to look like, and we may talk about that later if we have time. But, I mean, summer in IT, I've learned, especially because it's different like in corporate stooge IT, where you just are like in business all year long. And you don't get like the summer break. You don't. And so we're really fortunate that we do have those breaks, but you try to cram all of your main network stuff like into the summer. And so it's like once teachers leave the building, it's go time.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially whenever you're growing all the time, which is again, one of those things that we're always facing because we're growing over the next 3 to 4 years.
Well, I always look at it as like an opportunity to kind of reevaluate your corporate workflows and your school workflows and how you do things. And of course, we have recently just rolled out our new laptops for our teachers. I'll be imaging a bunch of new student computers this summer. We've got a lot of iPads to image. Of course, the iPads are a breeze. I could do those in an afternoon. But one of the big things we're going to have this summer is our student information system, RenWeb, is supposed to have a fairly significant upgrade this summer to their web interface. Like it'll replace like the administration staff actually has to run VMware to use their Windows app to kind of manage the back schools, I guess, back office / school stuff. And so I'm in the demo of the beta of their new really souped up web interface. And that's supposed to go live at their big conference this summer. So that means we'll spend in service really having to teach teachers how to use that. Thankfully, it's drastically simpler. My only, I guess, concern about it is that it's built on top of Silverlight, and it does seem like that's getting end of life in about 10 years. So I guess 10 years is a long time.
So the main interface through the website is built with Silverlight?
The new one is, yeah. Like they're redoing it, and the new front end is built on Silverlight.
Yeah, those guys are probably kicking themselves because they're going to have to redo it all over.
Well, and of course, I got into the beta like the same day that Netflix had a blog post about like leaving Silverlight for a DRM-based version of HTML5. And I think that spec's coming out soon, which that's a much-needed thing because that'll allow companies not like Netflix to ditch things like Silverlight. I mean, I love not running plugins. Like, I actually don't run plugins in Safari. If I have to use a plugin for something, if it's in Chrome. And so I sent them that link, like my contact at RenWeb, and she said she would have them look into it. And I'm sure they know about it. But in reality, I mean, do we expect that interface to last for 10 years? Probably not.
No, yeah. Yeah, we use PowerSchool ourselves. So I guess I'm not that familiar with RenWeb. But that's the first time I've heard Silverlight in a little while.
Well, you know, the thing about RenWeb, and I'm sure this is probably with PowerSchool too, is RenWeb is like really, really cheap comparatively to a lot of school management systems. And it does about 80% of exactly what I want it to do. But to get that last 20%, the next biggest company, for example, is, you know, drastically more expensive. And so you have to, like, when you're looking at your budget, and you say, well, these 20% of these features would be nice, but are they worth the extra cost? I mean, a perfect example is that the mail label, like the little thing to run mail labels, like of all your families, it assumes that you're printing those in house. So it tries to, it goes straight to kind of the print screen and tells you to print it, you know, pick your labels and whatnot. But we don't actually like, well, one time we send stuff home, you know, mass via mail is via our magazine. Like we kind of have a, you know, fundraiser development / school magazine that we send out a few times a year. Then also our class list, those go home as well in the summer. So we really only send that out twice a year. So to do that, we actually have to create a manual report that takes a little while to kind of finesse to get right. Then we have to, it opens it up in an HTML page. We have to copy and paste that into Excel and create a CSV file. Because we don't send this stuff home. We actually just like let another company mail this stuff for us. We don't do this stuff in-house. And again, is that a quirk? Yes. Is that a showstopper? No, it's a little annoying, but we don't do it enough to warrant paying a ton more for that feature.
Yeah. Yeah. We basically just try to send everything home with report cards if it's got to be on paper.
You guys do paper report cards?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it makes me sad. Man, we do that. So it's all online. I click a button and we're done.
Yeah, our parents have, you know, there's a portal that they can log into and see their kids and track everything. But we require a signed paper version of the report card. I think that's the big thing is signing it.
Do you ever feel like that kids today, like, I guess I feel like they get a rough straw, I guess, because like you and I are about the same age. Like when I was in school, if you were screwing up, you at least had 6 to 9 weeks to bring that sucker up. Like kids, I mean, like we have our school secretary who I love and adore. And of course, if you work in a school, you know that the school secretary is like nothing goes on without him or her. You know, we always joke that the school secretary is the neck of the school. You know, we got the head of school and that she's the neck of school. Like when she's out, things do not run well. So her son is in high school. And so I remember one time, like he failed a test or something in first period. Well, she got on his school's Ren web, saw it and sent him a text message. He didn't even know the grade yet because he was in second period. The teacher graded it. And you know, we had 6 weeks. They have 6 minutes.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh me. So tell us, you know, one of the things when we talked earlier, we kind of just planned on shooting the breeze and you kind of had some big news this week. So tell us about it.
Well, I got the motivation to get this pet project I've kind of had, off the ground. It's called Course Code. And, as of right now, I'm trying to use it as a way to just write about technology and education and where they converge. And really, I think it's going to branch off from that from time to time, but I really want those two things to anchor most of the content that comes out. And, there's some other plans as far as what we might do in the future with it. But there's been a mixture of things since last time we talked as far as our team has grown. We're getting ready to hire a second person. So now it's not just me anymore. There's going to be three of us hopefully within about a month. And yeah, I just got the website up yesterday. A couple things prompted that. And the biggest thing is really the only thing that's written thus far, is this new tool called Casper Focus. Have you heard of it?
I briefly kind of skimmed over the link when you sent it to me. I woke up at like 3 a.m. and I don't sleep good anymore. When did you send that to me? I think was it late last night?
Yeah, it was about midnight. I was up till about midnight.
Yeah, like I don't. This is like off topic, but you know, I think I mentioned that like my wife and I are living with her parents while our house is getting finished. Like we're actually just about a month out from moving into a new house. And so I don't sleep well. I don't know why. I just like, I wake up 5 times a night. And the bad thing is I sleepwalk too. Now I sleepwalk and eat. And I'm not even joking. Like we'll wake up and like there will be food missing and I will have no recollection of eating it. One day I woke up mid eating a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Well, I mean, there are worse things you could have been eating.
That is true. So again, yeah, I briefly read over it last night, but I wanted to kind of be fresh. So, and really kind of hear your take on it on the show. So take it away.
Okay. So Casper Focus is a new app that's coming out from Jamf Software. And I don't love telling people that name. It's JAMF. And I don't know if it stands for something. I've never found that it does. But they make a really great Apple-based, Apple-centric computer and iOS, basically MDM and management tool called the Casper Suite. And we've been using it for almost a year now, and it has saved my bacon and made my job so much easier over the last year. But basically, you install an agent on all of your computers. You can do all your imaging with it, and you can also basically put a profile on your iOS devices, and then they call home, and you can, there's a little self-service app. So you kind of have your own internal app store and things like that, where you can publish an app to it. And then all your devices have that. So if you've disabled the app store on your managed devices, there's still a way to get content out. And yesterday I sat in on a WebEx announcement of Casper Focus, and the idea is to give more value to their product base, especially as they're seeing all these people such as yourself and Fraser in particular, all these different educational entities that are starting to put more and more iPads in. We currently aren't approaching things that way. We're starting to add more and more. We're only going to add about 120 iPads to our setup this year. But the idea is that teachers will be given basically a simplified management or MDM tool on their iPad so that teachers can start to lead their classrooms and manage their classrooms that have iPads, no matter if it's one-to-one or just, you know, a couple iPads in the classroom. And so I thought it was very interesting, especially whenever they got to the end as far as how much it costs and things like that, because it's going to be free. Now, you have to have the Casper Suite in order for that to work, so it's not free. But I will say that Jamf gives extremely good educational discounts and pricing. They make the whole suite something that you want to install and have, and it almost is a no-brainer whenever you push over the 500 mark with your devices. So the app itself is going to allow teachers to take over their classroom. You build your classrooms in the Casper Suite, and you can basically build your schedule of who's going to be in what classrooms at what times. The teacher then sees those scholars' iPads that are up and running. They can see the battery status, so they can tell what devices are running low, if they need to be charged up. They can reset the password of the device. So I can foresee that being an issue if you either require passcodes, or I don't know. Can you lock out the ability to set a passcode?
No, I think basically like my method is to go actually and create one. And so like if they tried to change it, then they would have to know the existing one to create a new one.
Okay. Well, I guess if you didn't want to put that into place, and somehow a scholar had put their own passcode on there, or they tried to lock the device for the person behind them so they couldn't get into it, teacher now has the ability to push a button and reset the passcode, just empty it out or put a new one on the device. And then the teachers, I think it really gets interesting whenever you see what the teacher can do to lead a classroom. So if the teacher wants to open up iBooks, and I think this is going to be great because I've been trying to figure out how do textbooks on iPads work in our schools? How can we get there? Because we would just love to get rid of all of the dead trees that we purchase every year. And so now we'll be able to hopefully do that in the future. You can basically just lock iBooks and say the whole class has to go to iBooks, and it opens it up, and it can actually lock the app so that the home button doesn't work. And I think things like that are going to make it very interesting, because right now our teachers, do your teachers use remote desktop?
They don't. I have it, and our technology teacher has it. I think I'm the one that uses it most frequently. Our classes are pretty small, though, so I think a lot of our classes are like 13, 14 kids, and so sometimes it's just easier just to walk.
Yeah, and that's just a part of good classroom management. Even with the tools, you always have to be willing to walk around. It's just part of the job is to walk around, know what scholars are doing. But this tool is going to take it a step further, because You can lock the device into one scenario until you want to unlock your classroom set. And you can do this on an individual basis if you need to. So if you need to just lead maybe a subsection of your students, or you need to just unlock it or do something for an individual, you have these same capabilities on a one-to-one type of setting, or you can do it for the entire class or just a couple of them. But basically, it just allows teachers to start to manage iPads in their classroom, and it removes the friction of having to have the IT technical team involved. Or, I mean, I don't know of any other products, although I haven't done a lot of research. I'm sure something similar is out there, but I'm not so sure. So it's really interesting that you can lock the classroom, lead them through what they're supposed to do on their iOS devices. And I think right now it's iPad only, or it will be whenever it gets released, because this is definitely, as we talk about it, still in the approval process with Apple. But it's going to allow the teachers to have more control in their classrooms, the same way that our teachers now, they use remote desktop to do that.
Well, I think it's important to mention, when you kind of reference it, it's still being approved by Apple. Jamf, there's kind of like this trifecta of Apple education. It's Apple, Jamf, and Aerohive. So they have these road shows where Apple really, and they didn't have this a few years ago, that Apple really sees, as a poor network and a poor management of devices and network and this education market leads oftentimes to a poor deployment. So they kind of brought these partners on to do things that Apple really has no interest in. At this time, Apple has no interest in, building, I guess, full-featured MDM system. They've got some stuff in Lion or Mountain Lion Server, but it's nothing like that Jamf has. And then, again, they have Airport Extremes, but they'll tell you, if you're doing a campus-wide wireless network, it's not meant to be done on Airport Extremes. It's not an enterprise wireless tool. So they kind of bring their friends along and say, we have these other things that, you should buy as well to make our stuff work better. So I would think they've had a lot of internal discussion with Apple about how this will work. Because, again, they're using APIs that are publicly available. And, hey, who knows? This could be something that could be an iOS 7 requirement. Maybe Jamf has some knowledge about something in iOS 7 that we don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. As far as I know, their headquarters, not their main headquarters, but the campus they have that Jamf has out in California is literally next door to One Infinite Loop. So, or right across the street. They are that buddy. They set up shop over there because Jamf has said over and over in a lot of their own keynotes that they intend to be an Apple-only shop for everything they create. They want to be as honed in and focused on their product as Apple is on their own products, as far as they don't want to have to support everybody and everything and every device.
It's funny. I wrote a piece on my blog earlier. It was a reference to an article on one of Dell's blogs. And one of the pull quotes I used: if the first tablet wave was about the user experience, the second is about effective management and support and productivity. We know they work, they're useful, and the users love them, but we need to prove that in a corporate environment, they don't become an expensive headache, and that they do things that provide good to the company buying them and supporting them, rather than just the users. And really, those kind of statements show that really just how Dell doesn't understand what's going on in the post-PC era. Their whole blog is about imaging and things like that. And, again, Apple does things a little differently, but they also have a lot of support from partners that can help with those kind of things. And so Jamf, I think, is somebody that it keeps Apple from having to do things they don't want to do. That's not really in their, I guess, sphere of focus. And you can appreciate that with Apple saying, we don't want to do everything. We will help our partners that we think do things better than us work with our products better. And that allows Jamf, because, Jamf then isn't competing directly with Apple. Jamf, can then kind of just focus. They don't have to, branch out into a bunch of different things because they're trying to shore up the revenue, because Apple's, gets the majority of the customers. They get to focus on working with Apple in the enterprise, Apple in the education market. Apple gets to focus on doing what they do. Aerohive gets to focus on doing what they do. And that's really, from a user perspective, that is a wonderful place to be.
Yeah, the whole one thing well mentality, that's huge. I mean, that's part of the way I think that you and I and Fraser, and the way we're all approaching, educational technology is different. It may be enterprise class, but it's at a higher quality, I think, than what the typical enterprise selects.
Yeah, oh, I absolutely agree. Because you and I were talking before the show started about, you look at some of the environments that we manage, we really dwarf the number of users on our network to some, I guess, what we would consider big corporate environments. But I guess the difference is, like, you and I in Fraser see ourselves as people that come alongside our users to kind of give them, that nitro boost. Like, let's get you pointed in a different direction with a different workflow, with a different class of device. Where in corporate Sooj IT, it's about locking the thing down, using Outlook and Microsoft Word and whitelisting the entire internet, and you can get to 5 websites and you can set in Word and Excel all day. And that's just not the environment that I want to work in, nor do I want to manage either.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that I'm a little bit tighter towards the enterprise when it comes to that. We do a little bit more locking down, but only because we're growing. Like this year, we're going to add, I want to say it was 1,200 devices over the summer. So when we get into the 2,000 range and eventually into the 5,000 to 6,000 devices range, I do want to know that everything that's on those machines at least came from a central source. But that's where Jamf helps us, because we can go ahead and select what apps need to be available and then just make them available through self-service and still give everybody, empower our teachers to have full access and full administrative access. That's the other part of what Jamf allows us to do. We can say that you're a standard user on your device, but in these areas, adding printers or applications, if it's installed this way, you have the freedom to do what you need. And if you really need something, we'll get it in there for you if it doesn't kind of meet those requirements.
Yeah, it's really just kind of a new world. One of the things that we did this week, which I got so many thank you emails, is we had YouTube blocked in the past. And we had a bypass through OpenDNS Enterprise where teachers could bypass the block to get to it, but it's still blocked for students. And we can discuss whether we should block it for students or not, but we just made that decision that there was a lot of fluff on YouTube that we didn't want them seeing, and so we blocked it. But it was always a pain for teachers to have to do the bypass. I mean, the bypass worked well, but it took time. So earlier this week, I rolled out the 6.0 R2A of Arrowhive's Hive Manager software and Access Point firmware, and that came with AVC, or Access Point, or Application Visibility and Control. So basically what that allows me to do is go into each user profile, which is tied to a particular SSID, and do kind of application filtering. And so now on the guest network and on the student network, YouTube is completely blocked, but on the staff network, it's wide open. Obviously, the staff network has a pretty strict passcode. And so teachers, like, we're so thankful for that. And I was thankful to do it because, it was never about keeping them off YouTube. We provided the block bypass code. But I was thankful that, I was able to, I guess, enable them, make it easier for them while also protecting, what we feel is we want to keep students away from. So it's just, it's kind of just a new world where you're actually thinking, like, how can I make this easier for users? In corporate Sooj environments, it's like, how do we lock it down? How do we make it where they can't possibly do anything that's not work related? And that's not the environment we live in today. It's funny. My wife and I watch Mad Men, and you see them, like Don Draper. If you don't watch it, he's like the main character. He like hangs around on the couch most of the time. And it's like, if anybody thinks that everybody's working 8 hours a day straight every day, they're fooling themselves.
Yeah. Unless you're stressed to the max and just the only person doing everything. I mean, I've been there where you're working all day, but it is great. Like the course code thing for me, that's kind of my sitting down on the couch. It's the ability to kind of do things outside of work that I'm still interested in, and they kind of relate to the work I do.
Well, yeah, and that's really this podcast that Fraser and I do. I mean, I technically do it on work time. Of course, I put in a lot more hours than I have to, but through the connections that I've made through people, I've learned a ton of stuff. The fact that Fraser and I have a podcast certainly doesn't mean we know everything. In fact, I do this podcast so I could learn things from Fraser, from the listeners. We get email from people with great ideas. I mean, the great thing about the education environment is even at schools that are in our city, we don't feel like we compete with each other. And, you know, of course, you and I certainly aren't competing for students. And so if, like, I learned something cool and I, you know, I will share it with you. And obviously, I don't care if you use it in your school or not. You know, in corporate America, you know, you would never, you know, McDonald's would never share, you know, IT secrets with Burger King.
Yeah. Yeah. The secret sauce recipe is not something they share for their Big Macs. Yeah, I, as far as sharing things out, you can share the whole plan of how you do things and how you implement it, but you still have to be able to implement it.
Yeah, anybody can have a great idea. It's about the execution that really matters. Yeah. But let's take a quick break and thank BDocs for sponsoring the show. BDocs has been with us all year long. BDocs.com, BEEDOCS.com. They've really kept the lights on here this year, been a longtime sponsor. They make an incredible application for the iPad, the iPhone, the iPod Touch. It's a universal application. It's a timeline tool you can build in 3D or 2D. So timelines are great tools for telling stories in historical context. And having visual references can make a huge difference in engaging audiences. So it's perfect for classroom presentations. You know, Cole, one of the things that Fraser and I talk about a lot is like kind of like the death of PowerPoint and how we're all sick of like just like the straight up PowerPoint templates and the you're reading your speaker notes on the screen. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
You know, where it's like they put their notes up there. It's like there's, you know, five paragraphs up there. So, you know, we talked about how tools like Perspective and, you know, Explain Everything and really even Timeline 3D have come along, and they're kind of this next generation presentation tool. It's more than just a PowerPoint. It's sharing information in a way that engages audiences. So one of the examples that BDocs had some students do that were in France is they built a multimedia timeline of major events in World War II. The students included images, video clips in the research, as well as like narrations that they actually recorded themselves on the devices. Again, it's a dead simple app. Anybody can use it. It's really, really useful. It's been bouncing around in price. I think last time I saw it was $3 on the App Store. So if you're buying it through the volume purchase program, it's $1.50 if you're buying more than 20 copies. So as you make your plans for your app purchasing this summer, I highly recommend you consider BDocs Timeline 3D. Again, BDocs.com, BEEDOCS.com. Thanks for those guys for sponsoring the show. So, again, Casper Focus, that looks really neat. You know, one of the things that we haven't mentioned yet is the price of it. And one of the things that I hate about, you know, I guess the term corporate stooge IT is application license or feature licensing, I'm sorry. And, you know, we use SonicWall internally, and it works really well. Dell owns them. It works fine. I can't really complain. But anytime you want to add a feature, it's $500 a year.
It's insane.
It just drives you nuts. And I would just rather pay more for the device up front and have all the features I needed.
Yep.
And, yep. You know, one of the things that, you know, since we've been at Aerohive School for over a year now, one of the things I love about Aerohive is no feature licensing. So this application visibility control came out. It's free. If you have our service, it's free. Their goal is to make their software more valuable, so more people will buy more access points. And that really seems what Jamf is doing here. It's like, hey, this is something we give away now. Like, if you're already a customer, you get this for free. I like that. That makes me happy as a customer, and that makes me want to stay with companies like that.
Me too. That was what I was waiting for yesterday. It was the big reveal. I was like, you know, we've been talking about putting more iPads in. This is a step in the right direction for what we're looking for. But what's it going to cost? And when they said it was free, I was like, are you kidding? All right. This is the first time I've had like a major release from Jamf, especially something that's kind of off the beaten path of the Casper suite in general. And it's an app itself that you can install. And I was really happy to hear that it was free.
Yeah, I think that's great. I just hope more and more companies follow this mantra, you know, especially when you're looking at, you know, again, going back to the number of users we support, I mean, like, I can't buy services that cost me $50 per user per year. Now, it'll eat up my entire budget.
Yep.
You know what?
Yep. Which actually I'm kind of interested in OpenDNS umbrella. Is that kind of that way whenever you've looked into it? Are you guys buying it for all your students?
No, we're not. We're actually, the school is not even buying it. As I mentioned on past shows that we share a facility, with a church, a lot of independent schools in the U.S. If you're listening outside of the U.S., a lot of independent schools in the U.S. are kind of part of a church. So like we're Brainerd Baptist School, and there's a very large church that is Brainerd Baptist Church. In fact, we even share an email domain with them. We're in the same building, same network, same phone system. So I kind of moonlight to do their IT as well. And they wanted a solution for the pastor's computers when they were off network, so that they, you know, not that we had any belief that anybody was looking at anything they shouldn't, but we want to basically create a situation where they can't, or they're not tempted to. So we had used a free product in the past called X3 Watch. It was from a website called Triple X Church, it was a pretty good product. It worked pretty well. It basically just sent reporting on kind of anything that was questionable that computer went to. But just, it was a free product, and so over time it kind of got less and less reliable. And they had a paid product, but we just didn't feel like it was a good fit for us. So we put it on 30 of the computers we have for the church, and it's worked well. It's really easy to install. It really works well if you're using OpenDNS internally, kind of their enterprise product, because you can have two different policies. Like, you can have different policies on site versus different policies off site. So it really works well. And I don't know. I mean, it wasn't cheap. I think we paid like $1,000 for 30 users, and then we pay like another $600 a year for their, on-site enterprise service, which, again, we really like. So I pay them about $1,600 a year. Now, with anything in enterprise, that pricing, I'm sure, is different from customer to customer. So I don't know if, like you said, hey, I've got 500 students that I want to put this on their iPads. I don't know if, like, they drastically start cutting the, price per user down or not.
Yeah, I just wrapped up getting our contract with them done for the year, for next school year, and they worked with me on the OpenDNS Enterprise stuff, but when it came to the umbrella, our scholars don't take their computers home, so it didn't make sense. And for our staff in general, it didn't really make sense, because we always get during professional development during the summer, we always get questions about, are you able to track what I'm doing? Can you see what I'm doing? And at the school, we do have web filtering that actually logs. But I was hoping they weren't going to force us into the client model, because it does get a little bit, I guess, creepy to some people that you're watching what they're doing, or at least you have that availability to do so. I know it makes sense, especially on iOS devices, phones, and things like that, to make sure that they stay with the policy that you want them to have. But at home, I just kind of, I don't even want to go there with people if I don't have to.
I agree. When you do that in that environment, it kind of goes down a slippery slope really quick.
Yeah.
So, how long do you guys have till you get out of school?
We get out May 24th.
That's us too. That's actually the day I'm closing on my house, oddly enough. But we, that could be interesting. I just realized that's our last day of school. It'll be all right. I think it's a half day anyways. So, of course, like any school, that last week doesn't really count. I mean, it's like, because our younger grades end actually the week before on the 17th. So, we've got 4 weeks left. And then our K-3 and K-4 only have 3 weeks left. I remember when this year started.
Yeah, it goes by so quickly every year. And the summer is going to go by just as quickly too, because school starts right back up in August 1st. Or I think like the first week of August, that first Monday.
Oh, yeah. And I've got a busy summer. Of course, we're moving, and then we're having another kid. And so, it'll be a busy summer. Yeah, that's good times. Good times. Well, all right. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Frazier will be back next week. Cole, thanks for stepping in this week. We wanted to have a show, and I thought, who can I ask? It's like, Cole's in Memphis. He's holding down the fort while Stephen Hackett's in on vacation. So, bring you on. Thanks for that. That was fun. And then good timing with the Casper suite mentioned as well. We'll have a link to the course code blog and the Casper Focus press release in the show notes as well. So that'll be something to keep an eye on this summer. So any parting words?
No, thanks a lot. That's about it.
All right, everybody. Well, have a good week. And if you have time, leave a review on the iTunes store, and we really appreciate that. And Cole, where can people find you around the web?
They can find me at coursecode.net. There's a link to the personal blog of mine that I've written some for, but I was really looking for something to kind of hone in on. So they can find me there or on Twitter at DABIGC.
All right. Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you soon.